I love the cartoon strip where the first frame says, "Who wants change?" Everybody's hand goes up. Who wants to change? We're all screaming for change, but we're not willing to make the shifts necessary for that change to come about. I'm a Californian, and I remember the moment that Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected to the governorship, and he was on the platform of change, and everybody in California was so excited. Landslide victory. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor, and he began to make the changes that everybody was calling for. And then he went out of office with a very low approval rating. No, you're supposed to change everybody else but my department. You're supposed to take the money out of every other department, but just not mine. And that's some consciousness that's happening. Yes, you need to change. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. There is a light. There is an eternal radiance, an immortal radiance that has no beginning and it has no end. It was shining before the first star was in the sky. It was there, as Will Hodges' song says, before love was a word, before love was even an idea, that light was there. Before any one of us sitting in this room was a thought in our great-great-great-grandparents' mind, that light existed. And it's spoken about in the most mystical of the Gospels, my personal favorite, because you have to be a mystic to understand the drug trip that it is. It's the Gospel of John. Right at the beginning, John writes this, chapter 1, verse 1, let's say it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the word in that sentence was a mistranslation. It's a logos. It's the divine impulse. It's that which is eternal and immortal that has been there since the beginning of time. It represents the eternal light, the immortal love, the essence that has existed before time, exists in the breath that you just took and will exist forever. It cannot be taken away from us. It cannot. Why is that? Because it's what we are. It cannot take the light away because it's what you are. Every one of us in our unique expressions, but boy, can we forget it. Am I the only one who's ever forgotten it? It happens a lot. This week it happened several points. You know, whether we feel that light or not, whether we are expressing the light or not, is completely up to us. It's up to me. And that light, 24/7, 365, is whispering. And you know what it's saying? Stay awake. Let's read this together. Stay awake when you're afraid. Stay awake when you're angry. Stay awake when you want to run away. Stay awake when you want to attack. I have experienced every single one of those emotions. This was perhaps the busiest week of my entire life, and it was full and rich and beautiful. And I, knowing that it was going to be a full week, did what I don't usually do, is I prepared a fantastic message for you today. I mean, it was juicy and it was good. And it was holy and it was sacred. And then yet another school shooting happens. And another child dies. And yet, at the hand of ignorance, of hateful unconsciousness, another person dies. And they looked at my words of that beautiful talk, and I said, they kind of fall hollow. They don't work anymore. They'll be good a year from now, but maybe not today. Now two children will grow up without their father, and if I cannot grieve that, then there's a problem with my ability to be the light and to be the love. It matters not if I agreed with the man who died. I didn't agree on most things. But if I have lost the capacity for love to grieve for two children and a wife, the problem lies with me. Being honest, I feel I'm supposed to say something really meaningful and profound today. I want to say something that creates a different paradigm and a different reality today. I want it with everything that I am and any words that I come up with in reaction to the violence that seems to be dominating the landscape of our country fall short and hollow. Yet I will keep seeking. And I invite you to not ever give up hope that that light, that eternal light spoken about in the mystical gospel of John still exists, even when I can't see it. Even when I can't feel it and I cannot find it. Every single experience that we have as a human being, nothing excluded, is part of a great tapestry of living, of life, and of light. That's a power placed into our hands, the ability to create the earthly existence that we are experiencing. And we're either adding to or subtracting to the world of hell or the world of heaven based on our actions, decisions, and thoughts, and our reactions. It is a critical crossroad moment, how we react to the school shooting that happened, to the murder of a senator in Minnesota who will never see her grandchildren, to the murder of a man who thought differently than I do, yet was a human being. All these human beings have lost their life, and I need to be willing to fall into the place of love and grieve with those families. This power that's been placed into our hands is used wisely. Hopefully, we use it wisely, but it's also used unwisely. It's used consciously, and it's used unconsciously. There is a singularity of the movement of energy that we get to direct. We are the ones directing that energy, not some entity outside of us. That power has been placed into our hands. And so we don't like what we're seeing. It's our job to up our game. It's our job to think differently, to remember that light no matter what. It requires my constant, my conscious, my diligent digging deep. When I'm on my knees and I'm feeling afraid, angry, wanting to run away, wanting to attack, stay awake, the still small voice whispers, stay awake. Our job as spiritual seekers is to find that light, no matter what it takes, and allow it to guide us, not the human ego, not the knee-jerk responses that we all want to go to. When life is working, when life is rough, when it's holy and beautiful, and when it is dark, it's the same exercise. And if my faith and my light and my belief system changes based on somebody else's action, I am a house built on sand. If what we teach from this platform and sing, I'm ready for a change, well, I'm ready for that change. But if it is dependent on you changing, then I'm a house built on sand. If I will only show love if you show love, I am a house built on sand. If I can only grieve if you grieve, or admit you're wrong to admit that I'm wrong, then I am a house built on sand. I've been grieved, really grieved. Some really good people that I love, that I know are good people, that I care about, made a choice this week to be anything but loving. I put a post out on Facebook in an effort to speak what I was wrestling with. Can we grieve together? Can we cry together? Can we be loving together? 2 days later, I took the post down. I don't know if that was a mistake, but that which was intended for love became a hotbed of war and attack and fight. What have we become? That a simple act of, can we live together in love and grieve for these two children, turns into a full-on display of hate. These were good people, friends of mine. And I went to the place, I can no longer be friends with you. Certainly, I took them off of my Facebook feed. But if I cannot be friends with them, there's no possibility of healing. I'm contributing to the division that's dominating the landscape. And so I wanted to start today, take a breath with me. And I want to publicly and humbly own any word, any feeling, any thought or action that I have ever entertained that is outside the love and the light that I teach and that I believe in. I've been there. I've said it. I've done it. I want to own it. I'm ready. I forgive me. I forgive me for the way I behaved that contributed to the detriment of society. Anything I have ever done or said or spoken to contribute to the current culture of middle school mentality that seems to dominate Facebook, that seems to dominate Twitter, that seems to dominate the airwaves, the immaturity of mindset that says it's their fault. It's their fault. Or they did it first. They hit me first. Oh my God, have we not evolved past middle school? They're way worse than I am. For any participation I have had, I beg your forgiveness. And I ask you to hold me accountable. I want to do better. I can do better. I will do better. I want to put myself into the shoes of the children who no longer have a father. I want to put myself into the shoes of the parents who no longer have a child at the hand of violence. And the family of a senator in Minnesota who will never get to meet her grandchildren before I rush in to find blame and to find attack. I want to be the first person to step back and own my own crap. Because that's what will cause the healing. A lack of ownership, no healing is possible. The quality of the questions we are asking right now is vitally important to heaven or hell. And a lot of people are asking the question, who is the matter with us? Who's responsible for this mess? That question never, ever will lead to unity. It doesn't. It's actually working against unity. Here's the question I want to ask. What can I do to make things better? What can I do in this moment to make things better? I'm ready for my change, and the cycle has to stop here on my watch. Let's ask that question to the second one together. What can I do to make things better? Ask the right questions. If I continue the hateful rhetoric of division and darkness, blame and attack, no matter how justified I feel I am, I will eventually be the one receiving the end of that bullet. That was a channeled statement. When that came out onto that page, and it was like, holy crap, did I really say that? I will be the one receiving the next bullet if I'm not the one to stop it. If we continue to say, your hate is worse than mine, your evil is worse than mine, your words are way worse than mine, or my power is greater than yours, we are all going to eventually inherit the annihilated earth that we are creating. I don't know about you, but I have more hope for a better inheritance. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust does not have to be the end of the story. I hope to God, and I hope to the light that's still speaking within me, that it is not. Let language that tears down stop before it comes out of my mouth. Let thoughts that tear down and divide be banished from my mindset. I'm either subtracting or adding to the next shooting. Plain and simple. And I've heard people say a lot over this last week, well, it's just words. Words are not the same as bullets. Bullets is real violence. Let me tell you, words are the fuel for the next bullet. Plain and simple. The words are the fuel necessary for the next bullet, which becomes the next bomb. And the next thing you know, we're all the victims of our own hate and our own division. I want you to consider a moment in your life, a time when everything seemed hopeless. We've all been there. We share that in the human world. It felt so dark that there was no way out. Yet somebody showed up. That small, still voice came as somebody who had a kind word to say, even though I maybe didn't deserve it at the time. A kind word or a gentle touch. A knowing glance across the room. I've got you. In my household, my wife seems to, for the first time, be paying attention that it appears to be part of the African-American community culture. I got you. And there's been about 12 people that said to her this week, I got you. I've got you. Today, I want to speak, I've got you. And we don't think alike. We want a diverse environment. We welcome a diverse environment. We cannot make exceptions to where I say, I've got you. I don't understand you. I don't think the way you think, but I've got you because we belong to each other as a human race. Take a breath with me. That still small voice is always saying, don't give up. Keep going. You are not alone. There's still hope. Be kind. I've got you. That spark, that thread, that whisper of light, that logos, that word is the word spoken in the Gospel of John. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if we allow it to be, because it must partner with us. I must play my part as a co-creator in the heaven I am trying to create. What any of us is going through right now, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is not the end of the story, but it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to recommit, to reawaken, and to do better. I often ask people, when they come into my office with a really dark, difficult thing, I'll say, do you believe that it's possible it can be different? Many times the answer is no, I don't. I don't have that kind of faith. And then my next statement or question is, do you believe that I believe, it can be different? Well, yeah, I believe that you believe. Then lean into my faith. That's what we do here. At any given moment, on a Sunday morning, we're sitting together. Somebody is believing and somebody can't believe. And like a great forest of trees, we lean into each other to support each other. What we do here on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, and throughout the week is needed now more than ever. And the easy road is to just go out there and blame and shame. The hard road is to show up and be part of the forest and let somebody lean onto you. When they cannot see the light, you help them find it. Close your eyes for a moment. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. Feel the presence of light in this very room. Right here, we are sharing one breath, maybe not one opinion, not one belief, but one breath we share, and one light. Feel it in your body. Feel it at your core. There is a sacred we that has not been lost and will not be lost unless we sacrifice it on the altar of our need to be right. You can open your eyes. I wrote a question. Can I call out hate without being hateful? God, I hope so. Can we as a community call out hate, hold hate accountable without being hateful in return? I heard somebody say the other day, I just hate hateful people. I hate hateful people. I have become one of them. You know what grieved me more than anything on my Facebook post when I took it down? These good people who were espousing hateful ideas and things, I don't want to become one of them. I don't want to become. Stay awake. The little voice whispers, stay awake. That light is here. It is now. It's even when we don't understand, and it's ours to know and claim the light when it is dark, just as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. Next slide, let's say it with a powerful voice. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. It is our responsibility to align our thoughts, our feelings, our actions with the higher power, with the eternal immortal light. A couple years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we did a whole study. I don't know how this emerged, but it was a whole study here in our church about near-death experiences. It was really a wonderful thing. And in those sharing, everybody shared their near-death experience. There were common threads. Number one, it was love more profound than anything they'd ever experienced on earth. It was more holy, full of light than anything they've been experienced. Second, you now have the choice to stay here or to go back to earth. Universal, everybody had the same story. There might be some truth to it. And the third thing is, I chose to come back and to bring a little bit of that down to the earth. I need it. My work is not done. I'm needed. The United States of America, and you can call this politics. I'm so tired of people saying I get political. I'm teaching love. And if that's politicized, that's on you. The United States of America is having a near-death experience. It is at a crossroads. And I'm saying we're having a near-death experience based on how we react and what we do. I'm saying, yes, we have the potential to experience a love more profound than anything we've ever known. And we need to make the choice to come back to earth and be fully present with a change, with a difference, with a consciousness that adds light and not fuel to the next bullet. Words that uplift, that find understanding and compassion and forgiveness. We don't have to die to anything except our belief that we are separate from each other. We don't have to die from anything except the belief that violent actions and words are the solution. That's middle school mentality, and I hope we've all grown up a little bit from that idea. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Let us be the ones that do better and think before we attack and tear down. The ones who hold faithfully to a better reality when it's really hard. And I'm holding my grandson in my heart. Charlie Kirk did not approve of my grandson because of who he was. And I hated his belittling of him. Yet I must look beneath the surface of his opinions and his beliefs to find the capacity to love him anyway. Namaste anyway. Not easy. But if we can't do that, we're going to inherit an annihilated earth. And the next bullet may come for one of us. A little music, maestro. I want to be among the ones who hold faithfully to a better reality when it's really hard. The ones who are willing to hold ourselves as accountable as we do others, especially on social media. Let us be the prodigal son returning home, the prodigal daughter returning home. Let us be the ones who are courageous enough to drag the human race back to the Garden of Eden. Kicking and screaming down the path, let our demonstration drag those hateful people. So I grieve that I got off Facebook. That post was love, and I let the stronger, hateful voice win. I'm going to find it and put it back on there, and I'm going to drag whoever wants to come with me back to the Garden of Eden. Kicking and screaming. The knowledge of good and evil, that we belong to each other. It's oneness. It says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. Say that with me. I stand at the door and knock. The light is knocking. The light is saying, don't forget. Stay awake. And that's really pretty to know. It's really great to know. But someone has to be the one that turns the handle and opens the door. I want to be that person. I want you to be that person. And I'm going to end as I began, and my all due respect and apologies to the writer John, the Apostle John, and the words from the Bible. I put it in my words, and it's the words I hope you get as the foundation of where I want to go as a community. Let's go ahead and put the last slide up there. Let's read it together. In the beginning was love, and love was with us, and the love was us. Stay awake.